Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Nedarim Daf Lamed Vav, the fourth parak in Bein Hamudar. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara returns to a statement of Rabbi Yochanan brought on the previous daf. Hakol Tzrichin Das Chutz B'Mechusa Kapara. All kaparas require consent of the owner for sacrificing, except for one who requires kapara before eating kadshim. Shari Adam may be carbon albanav obonos of a katanim. For we see that one can bring this type of carbon for his minor children who are not of age to provide consent. The Ran explains Rabbi Yochanan holds, Dan Efshar Mishi Efshar, we derive the possible from that which is impossible, meaning that we learn that an adult's offering can be brought without his consent from a minor where legal consent is impossible. Gemara asks, El Ma'ata Yavi Adam Pesach HaChavero, but if so, one should be able to bring a carbon Pesach for his friend without his consent. Shekhen Adam may be Abanav Benos of Katan, because one brings a carbon Pesach for his minor children, meaning that they partake of the meat of his Pesach, which may only be eaten by Minuyin, those registered. Minors cannot provide consent to be registered, yet the father can register them for it. Why then does Rabbi Elazar say that one may not designate a Pesach on his friend's behalf? Rabbi Zera answers, Seleves Avos Lav Deraisa. The law of a lamb for each father's house is not deraisa for minors. Since they can partake of the Pesach without registration, there is no basis to permit the registration of an adult without his consent. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Hatar Mishala Oshel Chavera, one who separates Truma from his own produce on his friend's Tevel produce to permit it, Sarach Daito Olo, does he need his friend's consent or not? Do we assume the owner would want his produce permitted without his having to use his own produce, and his consent would not be required, or might he prefer to do the mitzvah himself, even at the cost of using his produce for Truma? The Gemara attempts to bring a proof from our mission which states that one may take Truma for a Mudar Hana. The Gemara explains that the Mishnah cannot be speaking where he took Truma at the owner's request, because acting at his behest would constitute a prohibited benefit. It cannot be that he used the owner's own produce, for that could not have been done without consent. Rather, he must have used his own produce and separated it as Truma without the owner's consent, which resolves our question. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah may be in a case where the owner's produce was used, although consent is surely needed. It can be speaking where he said, Kol harotz litrum yavo v'yitrum. Anyone who wants to separate Truma may do so, which is adequate for another to act as a shaliach, but not specifically requesting this person's service that it would qualify as a prohibitive benefit. And point number three, Rabbi Yirmi asks Rabbi Zera, if one separates Truma from his own produce to permit his friend's tevel produce, tovos hana shalmi, to whom does the benefit of pleasure belong? Meaning, which of the two determines to which kohen to give the Truma? The Ran explains that the giver stands to gain financially if Yisrael offers him payment to give the Truma to his grandson, who is a kohen. The Gemara explains that the question revolves around the fact that each of the two components, the tevel produce of the owner and the produce of the separator taken as Truma, was necessary for the Truma to exist. Zera answered the language of the Pasuk as called Tvus Zarecha, Venasata, all the grain of your planting, and you shall give, implies that it is the owner of the original produce that gives the Truma to the Kohen. After deflecting a challenge from our mission, the Gemara quotes a statement from Rabbi Yochanan, which taught that the Tovus Hana is the separators, not like what Rabbi Zera had held. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara returns to a statement of Rabbi Yochanan brought on the previous daf, Hakol Tzrichin Das Chutz M'Mechusar Kapara. All karbanos require consent of the owner for sacrificing, except for one who requires kapara before eating kadshim. Shrei Adam may be karban albanav albanos of a katanim. For we see that one can bring this type of karban for his minor children who are not of age to provide consent. The Ran explains Rabbi Yochanan holds, Dan Efshar Mishi Efshar, we derive the possible from that which is impossible, meaning that we learn that an adult's offering can be brought without his consent from a minor where legal consent is impossible. Gemara asks, El Ma'ata Yavi Adam Pesach HaChavero. But if so, one should be able to bring a carbon Pesach for his friend without his consent. Shekhen Adam may be Abanav Benos of Katan, because one brings a carbon Pesach for his minor children, meaning that they partake of the meat of his Pesach, which may only be eaten by Minuyin, those registered. Minors cannot provide consent to be registered, yet the father can register them for it. Why then does Rabbi Elazar say that one may not designate a Pesach on his friend's behalf? Rabbi Zera answers, Seleves Avos Lav Deraisa. The law of a lamb for each father's house is not deraisa for minors. Since they can partake of the Pesach without registration, there is no basis to permit the registration of an adult without his consent. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Hatar Mishala Oshel Chavera, one who separates Truma from his own produce on his friend's Tevel produce to permit it, Sarach Daito Olo, does he need his friend's consent or not? Do we assume the owner would want his produce permitted without his having to use his own produce, and his consent would not be required, or might he prefer to do the mitzvah himself, even at the cost of using his produce for Truma? The Gemara attempts to bring a proof from our mission which states that one may take Truma for a Mudar Hana. The Gemara explains that the Mishnah cannot be speaking where he took truma at the owner's request, because acting at his behest would constitute a prohibited benefit. It cannot be that he used the owner's own produce, for that could not have been done without consent. Rather, he must have used his own produce and separated it as truma without the owner's consent, which resolves our question. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah may be in a case where the owner's produce was used, although consent is surely needed. It can be speaking where he said, Kol harotz litrum yavo b'yitrum. Anyone who wants to separate truma may do so, which is adequate for another to act as a shaliach, but not specifically requesting this person's service that it would qualify as a prohibitive benefit. And point number three, Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Zera, if one separated truma from his own produce to permit his friend's tevel produce, tovos hanas shel mi, to whom does the benefit of pleasure belong? Meaning, which of the two determines to which kohen to give the truma? The Ron explains that the giver stands to gain financially if Yisrael offers some payment to give the truma to his grandson, who is a kohen. The Gemara explains that the question revolves around the fact that each of the two components, the tevel produce of the owner and the produce of the separator taken as truma, was necessary for the truma to exist. Zera answered the language of the pasuk as kol tvus zarecha v'nasata, all the grain of your planting, and you shall give, implies that it is the owner of the original produce that gives the truma to the kohen. After deflecting a challenge from our mission, the Gemara quotes a statement from Rabbi Yochanan, which taught that the tovos hanah is the separators, not like what Rabbi Zera had held. All right, so now we go to Simur Daf Lamed Vav, and our standard simon is a lulav. A lulav, so here goes. The lulav merchant who promised a free lulav to anyone who consented to joining his Pesach, aside from his kids, who don't need to consent, was surprised by the man who took truma from his own produce to permit a friend's tevel, and then tell the merchant that if he gave him a free lulav, he'd give the truma to his kohen grandson. Once again, it's a motion. The lulav merchant, lulav, that must be more daf, lamed vav. The lulav merchant who promised a free lulav to anyone who consented to joining his Pesach, aside from his kids, who don't need to consent. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zera explained that one cannot derive from the fact that one can register his children on the Karban Pesach without their consent, that he can register a friend on his Pesach without his consent, for selaves avos lav deraisa. The law of a lamb for each father's house is not derisive for minors. Since they can partake of the Pesach without registration, there is no basis to permit the registration of an adult without his consent. So, the lulav merchant who promised a free lulav to anyone who consented to joining his Pesach, aside from his kids who don't need to consent, was surprised by the man who took truma from his own produce to permit a friend's tevel. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Hator Mishalo Ashal Chavera, one who separates truma from his own produce on his friend's tevel produce to permit it, Sarach Daito Olo, does he need his friend's consent or not? Do we assume the owner would want his produce permitted without his having to use his own produce, and his consent would not be required, or might he prefer to do the mitzvah himself, even at the cost of using his produce for truma? So the lulav merchant who promised a free lulav to anyone who consented to joining his Pesach, aside from his kids who don't need to consent, was surprised by the man who took truma from his own produce to permit a friend's tevel, and then tell the merchant that if he gave him a free lulav, he'd give the truma to his kohen grandson. Which reminds us of Rabbi Yirmi's question to Rabbi Zera. If one separated truma from his own produce to permit his friend's tevel produce, tovos hanas shel mi, to whom does the benefit of pleasure belong? Meaning, which of the two determines to which kohen to give the truma? So once again, the lulav merchant who promised a free lulav to anyone who consented to joining his Pesach, aside from his kids who don't need to consent, was surprised by the man who took truma from his own produce to permit a friend's tevel, and then tell the merchant that if he gave him a free lulav, he'd give the truma to his kohen grandson. All right, now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Lamed Beis. So the simmer Daf Lamed Beis is a scientist in a lab. So here goes. The scientist in a lab. Scientist in a lab. That must be more in Daf Lamed Beis. The scientist in a lab named Avraham, who was experimenting with time travel so he could go back to the past and fix the causes for slavery, which reminds us different reasons are given as to why Avraham Avinu was punished and his descendants enslaved in Egypt for 210 years. So the scientist in a lab named Avraham, who was experimenting with time travel so he could go back to the past and fix the causes for slavery, punched into his computer the code 172 and 248, which reminds us, we learned from the Gematria of Akev 172 that Avraham Avinu recognized his creator at age 3, and from the difference in Gematrias between Avram and Avraham, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu sovereignty over 5 additional limbs when he had Bris Milah. So the scientist in a lab named Avraham, who was experimenting with time travel so he could go back to the past and fix the causes for slavery, punched into his computer the code 172 and 248, and found himself instead back in his childhood, trespassing a neighbor's property while carrying his toy science kit. Which reminds us, the fourth parak begins, Ein bein hanudra hanam mechaber lemudra hamenu malcho. There's no difference between one forbidden by neder from benefiting from his friend, and one forbidden by neder from his food, or dris is a regel v'keilim shein osimehem ochel nefesh, except walking through the other's property and utensils not used to produce food. Daf Lamed Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg-leg pirate. So here goes. The peg-leg pirate, that must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was mudr from food, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why a mudr from food would be prohibited to borrow kalim used to produce food, since he made a neder from the food itself. After the Gemara's first attempt was rejected, Rava answers that speaking about one who says, the benefit of your food is forbidden to me. Since he added the benefit, he means to include all items, including producing an edible food. Rav Papa asks, even a sack to bring food in would be included in this neder as a method of obtaining food, although it doesn't prepare the food itself. So the peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was mudr from food, was surprised when the captive's friend jumped on the ship to pay off his debt, which reminds us, the Mishnah states about the mudr hana, shokel is shikol, he can pay for his half shekel, pora is chovo, he can pay off his debt, umaksilo is avedo, so he can return his lost item. The Gemara observes, Alma avruchi ari ba'alma hu vishari, we see that it's merely chasing away a line, and thus forbidden, meaning the first two cases, paying for his half shekel and paying off his debt, are not considered a benefit received, they are merely protection from a potential loss. So the peg-leg pirate who prevented his men from giving a sack to carry fruit to his captive, who was mudr from food, was surprised when the captive's friend jumped on the ship to pay off his debt and return the pirate's lost parrot, even though the pirate had forbidden this friend to benefit from him. Which reminds us, the Gemara records machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Az regarding in which cases one may return a lost item to a mudr hana. The argument is in a case where the returner is prohibited from receiving benefit from the owner. One says he may not return the item in this case because while he's involved in returning the item, he's patur from other mitzvahs, including tzedakah, which potentially will save him money. The other opinion says that this potential benefit doesn't prohibit him from returning the item because it's uncommon for a beggar to come at the very moment he's tending to the lost item. Daf Lamed Daled, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. The man who ran up the ladder, that must be more Daf Lamed Daled. The man who ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was mudr hana, and who was chasing him to return his lost item, which reminds us, the Gemara challenges the opinion which held that the Mishnah is only speaking of where the returner is mudr hana from the owner. For the Mishnah states that in a place where people receive payment for returning lost items, tipo hana lehektish, the payment falls to hektish, if the returner refuses payment. If the Mishnah is only speaking where the returner is mudr hana, why does the payment have to go to hektish instead of the owner keeping it? The Gemara remains with the question. So the man who ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was mudr hana and who was chasing him to return his lost item was overcome with emotion when he saw a man be makdish alof in his dalet amos and make sure not to be ma'al, which reminds Rabbi said, Haisel a fun of kikr shal hefker, if an ownerless loaf was in front of him, and he said, kikr zo hektish, this loaf should be hektish, the hektish takes effect. The Ron explains that the loaf was within his dalet amos enabling him to acquire for himself, but since he declared it hektish, he indicated he did not want to use his dalet amos to acquire it for himself, but for hektish. If he took it to eat it, he violated me'ilah according to its full value. But if he took it to bequeath it to his sons, he violated me'ilah only according to the benefit of pleasure derived from his children's gratitude to him. So the man who ran up the ladder to avoid his neighbor from whom he was mudr hana, and who was chasing him to return his lost item, was overcome with emotion when he saw a man be makdish alof in his dalet amos and make sure not to be ma'al. So he yelled down to his neighbor that loaf that I made usher to you, I'm now giving you as a gift. Which reminds us, Rav Chiya bar Avin asked Rav, if one said, Kikar alecha, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he gave it to his friend as a gift, what's the halacha? He explained that his query was that if the implication of my loaf meant to prohibit it only while it belonged to him, but once he gave it to his friend, it would not be included in his neder, or did he prohibit the loaf to him completely? Rava answered that he certainly intended it to remain forbidden even after gifting it, because otherwise, what purpose did he forbid the loaf to his friend? Rav Chiya bar Avin responded that perhaps his intent was only to exclude if he invited his friend to eat the loaf with him, that he may not do so, but he did not necessarily intend to prohibit the loaf after gifting it to his friend. Daf Lamed Hey, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. When the Nedarim boys choir, that must be more in Daf Lamed Hey, la la la. When the Nedarim boys choir finished their heartfelt rendition of Yesh Me'ilah Bekonamos, which reminds us of Rav's question to Rav Nachman, Yesh Me'ilah Bekonamos or lo? Is there Me'ilah for items forbidden by Konam or not? The Ron explains the question that if one declares that something is konam, Is it like a carbon that when he uses it violates me'ilah and is chayiv in the requisite carbon and payment? So when the Nedarim Boys Choir finished their heartfelt rendition of Yesh me'ilah b'konamos, the proud choir master mistakenly did me'ilah by treating it to a kikar that was made us into him and given to him as a present, which reminds us of Rav Acha Breda Rav Avia's question to Rav Ashi. If one said kikari alecha unasanu b'matana, mi ma'al, my loaf is forbidden to you, and he then gave it to him as a gift, who has violated me'ilah? If you'll say that the giver commits me'ilah by giving it, but it's not forbidden to him, the loaf is fully permitted to him for all benefits. If you'll say that the recipient commits me'ilah by accepting it, but he can say, Heter be'isi isura will be'isi, I wanted permitted loaves, not forbidden ones. The Ron explains that the recipient can claim that he would not have accepted the loaf had he known it was prohibited, and it's therefore an acquisition made in error and should be void. So, when the Nedarim Boys Choir finished their heartfelt rendition of Yesh me'ilah b'konamos, the proud choir master mistakenly did me'ilah by treating them to a kikar that was made asur to him and given to him as a present. So a kohen gave him his card offering to be a shaliach and bring his carbon, which reminds us, the Gemara asked, Hanika hani shluchit idan havu or shluchit de shemaya? These kohanim, are they our agents in their capacity of sacrificing our karbanas, or shluchim of shemayim? The Gemara explains that the nafka mina is if a kohen may sacrifice a carbon for someone who's mudr hanah from him. If he would be considered an agent of the owner of the carbon, he would not be allowed to sacrifice the carbon for him. The Gemara suggested a proof from our mission which stated, makriv lev kinei zavin, one may sacrifice bird offerings of zavin for a mudr hanah as well as other similar atonement karbanas. We see then that kohanim are agents of shemayim, for otherwise he would not be allowed to sacrifice for the owner. This answer is rejected because karbanas brought from a chusri kapara do not require the consent of the owner to be brought. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you have the question, who gets the Tovas Hana when one takes Truma from his produce to permit his friend's Tevel? That's on Duff. Amid Vav. Good number 2. Which stuff do you have the question whether there's Me'ila with Konamos or not? That's on Duff. Amid Hey. Good number 3. Which stuff do we learn that Selaves Avos registering on a carbon Pesach is not a Deraisa for minors? That's on Duff. Amid Vav. Good number 4. Which stuff do we discuss what we learned from the Gematrias 172 and 248 regarding Avram Avinu? That's on Dav. Amid Beis. Good number 5. Which stuff do we have the question, what if someone forbids his loaf to his friend and then gives it to him as a gift? That's on Dav. Amid Hey. Good number 6. Which stuff do we discuss that the Mishnah states about a Mudra Hana that one can pay for a shekel and pay off his debts and return his lost objects? That's on Dav. Lamed Gimel. Good number 7. Which of the one, if an ownerless loaf was in the Dalad Amos of someone and he said, Kikar zo hektish, this loaf should be hektish, the hektish takes effect, that's on Duff. Lamed Dalad. Good number 8. Which of the one, why a mudra hanah from food is prohibited to borrow utensils used to produce food, that's on Duff. Lamed Gimel. Good number 9. Which stuff do we have the question whether one can take truma from his produce to permit his friend's tevel without getting his consent? That's on Duff. Lamed Vav. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do we learn why Avram Avinu was punished and his descendants enslaved in Mitzrayim? That's on Duff. Lamed Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichron. We share a great day and great learning.